All right, let's do this. First off, I gotta stop eating ice cream. I wasn't even, like, up until a few days ago, I didn't really eat ice cream like that. But because I'm starting to, like, eat a lot of granola, I'm starting to, like, I always use ice cream as, like, a dipping sauce because I'm a weird dude. I'm not proud of it. Or no, but it's like I do like melted ice cream as well as soup. To me, dipping sauces. Okay, like you know, I would get like I'll probably like get like I don't know some like if I have like bread, which I'm also trying to quit, like because I work at a I work at the Olive Garden. You know what I'm saying? I wash dishes at the Olive Garden, and you know every so often we get a chance to eat some of the bread and the soups, right? So it was like you know I dip some bread into the soup and yeah, dipping sauces. I realize now, I think it's just because of the fact that like, I like wet food, you know, like it's not that I don't like dry food, but like, if you give me fries, right. I'm not going to eat the fries dry, even though the fries by themselves might taste good. Like I got to eat it with the ketchup. You know what I'm saying? So there's a little dip, you know, I don't want to use the word moist because it's a weird word. And plus like white people have managed to convince me that it's a bad word to say, but yeah, it's like, it's the moisture of the food that, got, sorry, white people, by the way, I didn't mean white people as in like every white person, but it's like, you know, up until like before people started making a issue out of it on the internet, the word moist never really like made me uncomfortable. And that's one thing I kind of wanted to talk about too. Like there's a lot of trends that tend to go on the internet. Like, you know, back in the old days anyway, like, you know, it felt kind of like white people oriented until black people started like making their own trends. Like when I was a kid growing up, you know, jokes about Chuck Norris being this tough guy, you know what I mean, who could do all of these supernatural things. Like, I mean, granted, I grew up watching, you know, Walker Texas Ranger as a kid, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, other than that, I would have never known who Chuck Norris was because I wasn't around during the time of the old school martial arts films that made him famous in the first place. So it's like, you know, you see that sort of stuff and it's like, you know, it kind of just sort of takes me back a little bit. It sort of makes me question, like, you know, we were... Like, you know, like those guys ultimately made the memes and, you know, now we are making our own memes and we're kind of doing our own things. And it kind of push on a little bit towards like we made our own culture thanks to the internet, but we furthered our culture due to, you know, with the internet. By the way, rest in peace to Clarence Gilliard. The Walker Texas Ranger reference. Very talented actor, by the way. Moving along. But yeah, like, you know, but I gotta stop eating ice cream because like normally, cause like my whole thing is that like when I eat ice cream now, it goes like straight to, depending on like, I don't know what day it is or when, how fast I eat it or whatever, it goes straight to my stomach. And you know, it's like bathroom, and obviously I should not have given y'all that that image, but I mean everybody does it, right? Speaking of that, okay, so I'm at work, we're having a discussion. Like my whole thing is that like, you know, I feel like modesty for adults shouldn't really like it. Modesty for adults should definitely be a thing, but I feel like it's not something that we should like enforce as intensely as we do, because, you know, everybody has done a handful of the things that we act shy about. Like, for example, everybody has went to the bathroom before. You know what I'm saying? Even as a child, you went to the bathroom. You know what I'm saying? You've excreted foul materials from your body into a vessel of water that flushes away, right? We've all done it. So to be able to say, you know, hey, I copped a squat. You know what I mean? I don't think that that's like, you know, there's people out there who can see that stuff and it's like, oh, well, whatever. And then there's people out there who starts laughing because, you know, obviously, apparently, like, having a bowel movement is funny, I guess. I don't know. And then there's people who's like, why did you have to tell me that? I didn't want to hear about that. I don't want to think about that. It's like nobody's telling me to think about it. It's just something that happened. It's like, if you ask me where I was and I was topping a squat, I'm going to tell you I was topping a squat. You know what I'm saying? It's just stuff like that. It's just like, the reason why I brought this up was because at one point, me and my coworker were having a discussion, and at some point the subject of masturbation came about, and you know, it was me, my coworker, and our other coworker, who is a woman who has two children, if I'm not mistaken. She either has two children or one, I'm not sure. But it's like, she has kids, and you know, so it's like, obviously, she, if there's anybody who knows anything about masturbation, it will probably be the woman who got, you know, I shouldn't say it that way, but it's like, you know, the whole idea of sexual fluid would probably make more sense to the woman who has kids, you know? So it's like, you know, we were talking about masturbation, and he's like, dude, don't say this stuff. There's a lady present. And I'm like going, dude, she knows about it. It's like, I look at her. I'm like, you know, is what I'm saying, like, disturbing you? You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know. And then obviously the joke went further. The joke was like, you know, he said something along the lines of, it's like, I don't even masturbate anymore. I actually work out now. I'm like going, well, you went from pulling one thing to pulling another thing. I mean, you know, hey, progress. Look at you go, bro. But the whole idea, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because, like, I'm not necessarily saying that we shouldn't be modest at all. But what I am saying is that, like, you know, there should be things that I feel like, you know, unless there's children within the proximity, a lot of things shouldn't be that off limits. It shouldn't be controversial. We can't, like, we've all bled. We've all, you know, defecated. We've all urinated. We've all, I'm not going to say we've all had sex because some of us haven't, but we all are aware of the mechanics of sex. We are all, you know, I feel like the censoring of just regular, what should be considered regular conversation among adults is kind of what's like necessarily sort of is hindering us a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Because we're not children anymore. You know what I'm saying? There are a lot of tough conversations as a society that we just need to have. And you know, the problem is that we refuse to have them on account of, you know, like, we think some stuff. It's like, because nobody ever wants to say, oh, I think that's icky. I don't want to talk about that because I think it's icky. You know what I'm saying? Nobody wants to say that. Everybody wants to sound professional and prim and proper when they, like, say the stuff that they say. And they say some stuff like, oh, well, that's not appropriate. Nothing is appropriate, honestly. Like, everything, if you really think about it, you know, everything is controversial nowadays. Everything is controversial. You know what I'm saying? We have a, you know, like, Fox News is basically, Fox News apparently has managed to make a culture war out of Legos, bro. Legos, Sesame Street, Mr. Potato Head, and M&Ms. All right? These were all just basic things that people have indulged in at some point in time. And Fox News, or rather right-wing media, managed to, like, turn these things into controversial, like, stuff. Remember when, like, people were burning their Nike shoes because Colin Kaepernick he took that picture? You know what I mean? I mean, so it's like, technically speaking, by that logic, you know what I'm saying, with enough firewood, you could stoke the flames of controversy using anything. So by default, everything is controversial. So what should we do? Just not talk? You know what I mean? And, you know, but I also feel like as adults, we do need to have these, like, these deeper, tougher conversations, because now the idea of kind of censoring them and just sort of like turning them and making it seem like these aren't issues is kind of ruining and destroying. What's what I'm looking for? It's kind of ruining and destroying the very fabric of what it means to be just a person nowadays.
You know what I mean? Because we got people nowadays who are just sort of being marginalized because of who they are and what they're, and I don't like that. I don't think that's right. Like, you know, like, I'm not necessarily saying that, you know, at the workplace, just to a complete stranger, you just go up to them and just start talking about, like, you know, hey, when I have sex, do I do it this way or do I do it that way? You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying to do that with a complete stranger. I'm not even saying to do that with your friends, unless, of course, they understand the context and they respect you enough to, like, not freak out when you talk about these sort of things. But the idea is that, like, when it comes to modesty, I feel like there's only certain – I feel like there's, like, we are too modest. We're trying too hard to not have discussions and conversations among one another that we probably wouldn't want to have with our children, at least not yet. And oddly enough, the ironic part about this is that, like, children will probably have a better chance of understanding what you're saying when it comes to these subjects than adults will. I remember when I was a kid, I say this story all the time because it's one of my favorite stories. But, like, one time I used to watch TV as a kid, and my mom... Well, I used to watch TV all the time as a kid, and I used to watch, like, you know, it was almost never cartoons. It would be a very short moment of cartoons and then, like, a whole bunch of live-action stuff afterwards. And I kind of didn't like that, but I accepted it. But one thing I used to love was when there would be a show about a family, and a little kid would ask their parents, where do babies come from? And the parents would freak out. Like, they would just, like, kind of overreact in a comedic fashion. And it was, like, in a whole bunch of shows. Like, that would be kind of like a thing that would happen. A little kid would be like, but where do babies come from? And they would just, you know, and the parents would just react or not say anything. Or just be some kind of silly thing. One of my favorite things that they would do is, like, when a kid would ask, the parent would say something along the lines of, well, they come from the baby factory. And, you know, like, say all types of weird, funny stories dedicated to that and stuff like that. I always thought that that was kind of hilarious. And one day as a kid, you know, like one of my worst traits that I still have to this day is that when I watch something on television, I try it. Or rather, I kind of, when I watch something, it's not necessarily that I try it as much as it just sort of rubs off on me and I imprint on that thing. Like, I honestly feel like the sound of my voice comes from all the TV shows, like a combination of all the TV shows that I watched. And kind of like how it sort of manifested into this personality that I just decided to hold on to. Like, I honestly don't know what my real voice sounds like. I don't think this is my real voice. But, like, I feel like my actual real voice is so unrecognizable from the one that I have right now that, you know, like, I wouldn't even understand it if I started using it. In any case, though, so it's like I go over to my mom. I see all these parents asking. And I think the first thing I did was I asked my dad where babies came from. And my dad, in stereotypical dad fashion, was like, ask your mom, right? I should not have done that. I asked my mom, and my mom, she looked at me and she said, you really want to know? And I said, and I'm expecting, like, you know, my mama to just, like, I expect my mom to, like, just say, like, the most disturbing thing on the planet. And she did. She said, they come straight out the cat. And if I find out that you out here trying to make some babies, I'm going to make sure that you going to take care of them, or I'm going to help her get you on child support. At this time, I'm like a child. I'm like eight or seven or 9 years old or something. I'm like, I don't know what child support is, but I just know that my mom is, she's just ranting and raving the whole time. And I'm like, she's just ranting and raving. She's getting all ticked off. That goes for all of y'all. Cause as the street, I have two younger brothers. And if I'm seven, then one of them is like five and the other one's like three. So it's like, she's just like, you understand me? You know what I'm saying? You ain't about to be raising no baby. You ain't about to be, I ain't gonna have no bastards running around this house. You know, it's like, what? And she was like, you know, that was one. It's like, I didn't expect to get that kind of reaction. I also just expected my mom to just say, ask your dad, and I just do this whole little ping pong back and forth thing. But nope, she told me exactly where they came from, and I got a basic explanation of, you know, the social issue that involves becoming a deadbeat father in 1996, maybe. So I think it was 1996. I don't remember the year. I don't remember how old I was. I don't remember the year. All I know is that, like, I just remember being a kid and just, like, seeing that. And at that moment, like, that conversation, you know, it kind of made me, like, scared to even as much as look at a girl for, like, a year and a half, maybe. I was in elementary school. Like, I don't want to get these girls pregnant. Oh, man. I'm pretty sure that's probably why I don't want children now. Well, that's probably one of the reasons, but that lesson stuck. But like, you know, as a little kid, though, I will say I definitely kind of looked at this thing and I realized how bad things could be, and I controlled myself in whatever fashion I was. Plus, I was physically unattractive, so if I wanted to get any girls pregnant anyway, I cannot. They looked at me as a total square, man. I was Steve Urkel until maybe a decade ago, okay? But as a kid, though, another point about this is, like, with the drag discussion, for example, like, as a little kid, I used to watch, you know, like, to put this in, it's like, I used to watch Bugs Bunny. I used to watch Looney Tunes, you know what I mean? And, like, you know, I used to see Bugs Bunny, like, dress in drag just to kind of manipulate and trick, you know what I'm saying, Elmer Fudd, you know? And it's like, I used to see these things, and it just never really, like, that stuff never really stuck to me. It was like, oh, he's just dressing up as a lady to kind of trick Elmer Fudd into doing this thing. It was like, it's like, you know, and I mean, it took it a step further because it was an animal using sex appeal and drag to manipulate a human character who's trying to kill him. It's like all these concepts I basically had shoved into my brain as a kid, and I was just like, silly cartoon, whatever, you know what I mean? But I'm pretty sure you show any Fox News advocate that same thing right now today, they'd probably be like, bad Bugs Bunny. The woke left managed to make this cartoon. I'm currently right now watching History of the World Part 2. And there's a clip in there, obviously, where, you know, I think it was the Confederate soldiers or the Union. So it was one of the Civil War soldiers. And Wanda Sykes, as Harriet Tubman, has a gun held up to, like, three of them. And, like, one of them, he's a, was it James Tyler Williams or Tyler James Williams? It's the dude from Abbott Elementary. And he is, like, goodness, it's like, oh, my goodness, it's Harriet Tubman. And one of the guys is like, the inventor of the bathtub, and, you know, and Wanda, as Harriet Tubman, is like, how do these dudes enslave us? And that clip is on Instagram, like, right now, and I'm reading the comments, and it's going the way that you'd expect. Like, a whole bunch of white people are just like, this is a terrible show. Ruin the legacy of Mel Brooks. Oh, my God. I can't watch this. Unfunny. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's obvious why they think it's funny. It's obvious why they don't think it's funny, because it's like, hey, we're making fun of racists here. you're mad because it's like, it's making fun of racists. What is wrong with you? So, but it's like, and it's like, you know, I'm watching this thing, and it's like, you're starting to basically, I'm starting to see adults, like, getting ticked off at something that little kids that middle schoolers will probably find funny. You know what I'm saying? Like, high schoolers would probably find this stuff funny, but racist adults wouldn't. It's just and the whole idea is that, like, it's funny because the joke is meta. You know what I mean? Because, like, in those times, white supremacist, racist people were that stupid. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, if they didn't have, I honestly believe that if they didn't have, like, guns or the ability to manipulate with money, they wouldn't have had, like, the white supremacist movement would not have been as popular as not popular, but it's not as powerful as it is, because it wouldn't have had a leg to stand on. They, because they're idiots at the end of the day. You couldn't have, you can't have a conversation with a white supremacist and expect it to actually go anywhere. These people are dumb as dog dirt. So, you know, but what I'm saying is that, like, as adults though, as adults, we do need to ultimately just sort of like, we need to kind of just sort of have deeper and tougher conversations, you know, because like it definitely kind of bends the fabric on things. We're not supposed to be thinking one way all the time among each other. We're supposed to be having like complicated ideas. You know, it's not, you know, we're not supposed to just like sit back and laugh at everything. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing to sit back and laugh at everything, but sometimes there's a meaning to the joke. You know what I mean? Sometimes there's meaning to the things that you're seeing that you're just kind of not wanting to see because you're too busy saying, oh, well, let's just get back to the funny. It's like, no, you know? And I'm not saying this to like down jokes and down humor, but it's just like, you know, I honestly feel like, you know, we're too busy trying to look at everything on the surface that we don't even care about what's underneath anymore. And the thing is that like, there's always something underneath, because all art is social commentary. Every discussion that we have should be one that you should be learning from in some fashion. If you didn't learn from the conversation that you had, then what's the point of having that conversation? I mean, sure, it could be entertaining, but entertaining can be also educational. You know what I'm saying? And I think the big reason why we love gossip so much is because we learn things. I want to say information is another state of matter. If it's not another state of matter, it's something else. Like, I know information is a thing in itself. Like, it's a form of value. Some people use money. You know, some people use goods, services, and some people just use, you know, like information is a good or a service. Information is kind of its own thing. And I think the big reason why we like gossip so much is because of what information we get out of it, be it something that we think is funny or something that we think is something that, you know, we can utilize for later in a lesser funny context. Now that I think about it, I feel like the concept of information and humor is kind of like how you can use, kind of like, is basically how we explain memory. Because humor is something that you can get right then and there, and it's funny and it stays with you forever. But information is something that you feel like you're going to need, that you're going to probably utilize later on. You know, I feel like it's just like the former priority. Like with humor, the priority is right now, ha ha, I got that, that's funny. And information is, okay, not nearly as big of a priority, but I'm keeping it I'm keeping it for when I need it. You know, so I think it's, with short term, that's what humor would be. And, you know, information would be long term or whatever. But yeah, though, as an adult, though, we really do need to have, we need to have conversations about things like, you know, like sex, like violence, like you know, bodily functions. We need to be open with each other, our friends, our family, our partners, and things of that nature, to kind of just make sure that we, you know, because we're distant right now as a society, you know, like, but and we shouldn't be. Like, I remember there was this discussion on the internet. There was this thing on the internet talking about how doctors won't judge you. You know what I mean? Like, if you, whatever you do, they're just making sure that you do that stuff safely. You know what I'm saying? Like, for example, I know for a fact that if I was a doctor, you know what I mean, or a therapist, or a radiologist, I don't know the words, but it's like, you know, if I was somebody who was a reverend, if I was, or like a reverend or something, I'm not going to care. Like, if my job is to help you, right, I'm not going to care about what scruples you have as a person. If you're trans, I'm going to help you. If you're black, I'm going to help you. If you were a victim of sexual assault, I'm going to help you. If it's my job to help you as a person, I'm not going to judge you based on anything that will probably turn me away from helping you. Unless of course you did something that goes against my personal morals. And even then, I would still recommend you to somebody who will help you. That's just how I see things. And I feel like as a society, we kind of need to start looking at it in that fashion instead of just saying, I'm not trying to help nobody. Because the challenge is, you know, like as a society, we're too far away from each other. And we need to stop being so far away from one another. We need to stop being so distant. We need to start being a little bit more closer. I'm not saying to go up to somebody and ask them, hey, why is my poop yellow? You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying to do that. But if you just happen to be, you know, among your friends or your doctor or something like that, at some point, I mean, like, wouldn't you want to know? I mean, wouldn't you want to be around somebody who will want to help you handle that situation? You know what I mean? I'm just saying, it's just like, you know, do you have somebody like that? And if not, would you want somebody like that? And if not, why? I mean, it's easy to say, oh, well, you know, somebody will weaponize that and use that against me. But would they, though? And if you truly believe that, ask yourself why. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a little wary of people myself. You know what I mean? But I do want to believe that not everybody is like that. Or rather, if everybody is like that, then I'm just, you know, I'm still going to be at least a little bit open with these people. Just not too open, you know? You know, like, it's complicated. It is complicated. But yeah, we kind of do need to just need to open up. You know what I mean? Especially around people who we feel comfortable around and who feels comfortable around us. That's just my take, though. And all, but at the end of the day, though, yeah, we really do need to kind of quit with the modesty, because the problem is that, like, it's not helping anything. It's just keeping people retracted, you know what I'm saying? And it's holding back things that is, like, really important to society right now. You know, because, you know, like, the more secrets that we keep, the more ill intent everything looks around us. I mean, look at the government, right? The government is quite possibly the most obviously secretive organization in the country, if not the planet. And we know very little about it. So what do we assume about the government? It's all bad, right? Because it's such a big secret. Now, if they were transparent, which they should be, by the way, like, we should, like, you know, we would know things that's going on. You know what I'm saying? The one thing I kind of don't like about the, and I'm going to say this right now, like, for example, if you're the president of the United States, I feel like your life should be like a reality show. We should be able to know where you at, what you're doing at all times. Because of the fact that, like, you know, like, if you're, same thing if you're a governor, same thing if you're a lieutenant governor or anything like that. We should be able to know specifically who you, if you're going to represent us, you got to be like us. You got to be one of us. The moment that you, like, you know, become more successful and you start hiding away from society, people have the right to assume that you are doing terrible things. Because most of the time, these cats usually are. You know what I mean? Like, you know, why hide if you're innocent? I'm just saying that should be like a stipulation towards, like, the job that being a congressman or being a president or something like that should be. It should be like your privacy is almost nullified. Like, you're probably only free if you're in the bathroom, and even then you have to be recorded while you're in the. Even then you have to be at least audio recorded while you're in the restroom, something like that. Because, like I say, transparency, that's got to be a thing. I'm just saying, you know, like, I'm not saying that everything needs to be, like, out in the open, but if you're a government official, or if you're just somebody with the power and authority, we as a people should know everything about you. All I'm saying is, open up. Who knows? You might get fed. Love, peace, happiness, and success to love, peace, happiness, safety, and success to everyone that is listening. And this is it. Be easy.